You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. It's Wednesday. It's August 27th. John Hockenberry is back. Welcome back, John Hockenberry.
Thank you very much.
Do you like me calling you John Hockenberry, the full name?
You call me John.
Okay, John.
You call me.
Iraq, Afghanistan, Russia, the Republic of Georgia, among other places, have triggered many headlines this year, giving both Senator Barack Obama and John McCain opportunities to explain how they would handle U.S. foreign policy. And each would address the issues very differently. Joining us now is former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. She joins us from the DNC, the Democratic National Convention in Denver. Good morning, Madam Secretary. Are you having fun?
I'm having a great time. Good morning. This is my hometown. I'm glad to be here.
And we're glad to have you this morning. Let's first take a look at Iraq. It looks like this week that the U.S. is getting closer to sealing the status of forces agreement with Iraq, essentially the rule that allows them to operate in Iraq. And the next president will essentially be bound by that. Can you describe what you believe is the significant differences between the way that Obama would handle that and McCain would handle that?
Well, first of all, Senator Obama has made very clear for months now that the war in Iraq has to end and that our troops have to come home. And he has a plan in terms of how to begin withdrawing the forces, 1 to 2 brigades a month, and leaving a small residual force there in order to deal with the remnants of terrorists to protect our forces, and no permanent bases. Senator McCain is on a totally different tack. He has indicated that he would leave forces there a long time, making statements at one stage that they could be there 100 years, and sees much more of a permanent presence. And there's also kind of a completely different assessment of the reality. Senator McCain is completely wedded to the fact that everything's fine and we're doing really well. The truth is that we aren't doing that well. Our military has been fabulous. I think we all agree on that. The military situation has improved, but there's no military solution to Iraq. It has to be a political solution, and also Senator Obama has talked a lot about the need for regional diplomacy, so quite a different approach.
To be fair, John McCain has really talked about successes lately in relation to the surge that has now been winded back. But Barack Obama, he does have a plan, but he's been consistently dubbed as essentially inexperienced when it comes to foreign policy. How do you think Joe Biden, his vice presidential choice, who has a lot of experience, how does that help Obama on that front?
Well, first of all, I don't accept the premise. I think Senator Obama has shown a tremendous judgment on Iraq and has had a very careful assessment of what's been going on. But he has, in fact, chosen an excellent partner in Senator Biden, who is somebody that's been deeply involved in foreign affairs for decades, is somebody that is well known to foreign leaders who, and he himself, I've testified before many, many times, and I know how really well he knows every part of the subject, and he understands Iraq also in terms of what needs to be done. So I think it's a terrific ticket that has the combination of judgment and experience.
Except, is there really much difference between these two, I mean, in terms of foreign policy? I mean, you describe the situation in Iraq, and I don't know if there's as much difference between the two candidates as you suggest, but let's look at what's going on with Russia. In both cases, a President McCain or a President Obama would have to deal with a very, very stubborn and unlikely to be conciliatory of Vladimir Putin and Medvedev on issues of Georgia, Ukraine, North Korea. How are there differences between what John McCain can or would do and Barack Obama can or would do regarding Russia?
Well, first of all, there's no question that what Russia has done in Georgia is something that is disproportional, that creates huge problems. There's no question about that, and Senator Obama has spoken about the need to support the territorial integrity and sovereignty of Georgia. Excuse me, and to bring up, in fact, to the United Nations a resolution that would condemn what Georgia is subjected to now by the Russians.
McCain has also called for the Security Council. McCain has also called for the Security Council. In fact, McCain has called for Russia to be pushed out of the G8. What's Obama's stand on that?
Well, he has said that, you know, the bottom line is how to maintain leverage over Russia. And I think if we had followed Senator McCain's ideas of kicking them out of the G8, we would have even less leverage than Senator McCain thinks. I mean, the bottom line is I think that the G8 can start meeting as the G7, but I think we have to be very careful not to recreate the Cold War here. And my sense about what Senator McCain is saying is very much more confrontational. We have a very serious problem here. The Russians have done something unacceptable, and at the same time, we have to figure out how to maintain a relationship with them. And I find Senator McCain's language exceptionally harsh and also unclear in terms of what he would do, because he would completely isolate Russia, whereas I think what Senator Obama's been saying is much more carefully stated, much more artful in terms of the way that diplomacy is really carried on rather than saber-rattling.
Well, Russia did invade Georgia. I mean, that's harsh.
Well, it's terrible, but I think that one of the questions that everybody has is how exactly what messages the United States was sending before this whole confrontation took place. I think President Saakashvili of Georgia, in many ways, I think, fell into a trap. I mean, the Russians had been baiting him for a very long time. I think we have a terrible situation now, but we have to be very careful in terms of being very firm without creating a total confrontational picture, which does not allow us to figure out how to deal with the whole host of issues that we have with the Russians. I personally have been very critical of what the Russians have been doing, mm-hmm. but I think we have to be very careful.
Last question for you, Madam Secretary. Let's take a step back, because there's reality and then there's reality, as you well know, particularly in politics. And there is a great perception by many voters that Barack Obama simply doesn't have that experience on the foreign policy front. What do you think that he needs to do to prove to them that he does?
Well, I think, you know, that's what the campaign is about. And I think that we are going to hear and see Senator Obama who is very clear on his foreign policy positions. But I think what is so important here is that Senator McCain, to put it bluntly, has kind of a 20th century view of the issues, goes back to old lines and old issues. And Senator Obama is showing that he has a 21st century approach where cooperation is important. He understands that the problems and issues are quite different. Mm-hmm. But I hope very much the voters listen to him, because I think they're going to hear somebody who is very smart, very clear about where he stands on the issues, and somebody who is mm-hmm. confident in his own mind in terms of being able to listen to different voices and assess what people are saying.
Madam Secretary, the most important decision he made
was to select Senator Biden.
Madam Secretary, thank you so much. Always a great pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Madeleine Albright, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations and Secretary of State.
And she emphasized Biden there. I thought that was interesting right at the end.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.